is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. We've had their partnership manager and training specialist, Jefferson Mason, and marketing manager, Nick Bartlett, on the show in the past, and we couldn't be more excited about what they're doing for the game of basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Beyond efficient reps, Dr. Dish provides training expertise and versatility designed to develop complete players. The new Dr. Dish CT machine has further revolutionized basketball training with over 150 plus on-demand individual and team workouts from some of the best coaches and trainers in the game. These workouts include video instruction and combine game-like shooting drills with ball handling, conditioning, and agility drills. Along with workouts, the Dr. Dish training management system also provides stat tracking and analytics to track progress and ensure accountability. These are just a few reasons why top programs like Duke, North Carolina, Louisville, Florida, Baylor, and countless others are upgrading to Dr. Dish. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com. Follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And make sure you mention the Hoopheads podcast to get $300 off your next Dr. Dish purchase. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get out and get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Lensing here with my co-host, Jason Sunkel. And tonight we are jumping on to talk some NBA. We're going to talk some current events to start off the podcast. And then we are going to rank our player confidence rankings based on the top six seeds in each conference. And we'll look at that from the level of confidence we have in the best player on each team, which we'll also discuss who that might be, because for some teams it may not be completely clear. But we'll talk about our confidence ratings for each player on each of the top six seeds in each conference heading into this playoff stretch run. And we're going to kind of rank them by their playoff chops and how confident we are that they'll be able to come through in the playoffs.
Sounds perfect to me, and I'm really excited to discuss our good friend James Harden later in this podcast, Mike.
we'll see where he gets rated. It should be very interesting.
Yep.
All right, start us off.
So we're going to start with some happenings of tonight. Zion, 31 points, 31-9-5 tonight. Just looked pretty good. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't have League Pass, so I didn't watch any of the game because for some reason we decided that wasn't going to be the game. This was the week, the game that New Orleans wasn't going to get featured, which I don't understand. It was New Orleans-Portland, and theoretically, at the beginning of the season, this would have been a pretty good game. But anyways, I didn't watch any of it. I watched some highlights. He made some nice plays tonight, Mike. I don't know if you caught any of the highlights or not, but he definitely...
Yeah, I saw a few of the highlights. Had a couple nice dunks that I saw.
He had a nice rebound and kick out. It was a nice, he like got a rebound, saved it from going out of bounds, kicked it out, and the guy hit a three-pointer. It was pretty nice looking. It was pretty cool.
Well, the most impressive part of it from the Pelican standpoint is Brandon Ingram was out with an ankle injury tonight. So Zion kind of stepped up into that main, you know, the main role for them and obviously came through playing well. And that's a big win for them with Portland being ahead of them in this kind of race for the ace seed in the bottom of the West. And I think that we're continuing to see what we've been saying for a year and a half on the podcast, that Zion's the real deal. And to me, it just is, as I've said a few times here in the last couple of weeks, if he can stay healthy, I don't think there's any doubt that he is going to be one of the best players in the league in a very, very short period of time, because he just has a skill set and physical tools that not many guys have an opportunity to match up with. He's just the things that he can do on the court with his body size and his skill level just make him really, really, really hard to guard. And it's going to be fun to watch his career.
Yeah, definitely. And I think New Orleans fans have a lot to be excited about. They're probably pretty bummed that he wasn't able to start the season, because I think we can firmly say, Mike, I feel confident in saying that if he was healthy the whole season, they are a playoff team.
I agree.
Because, I mean, he's barely played, what, is it like 9 games now? And, I mean, I don't know what their record is. And their record in the last 10 is 6-4, and he's probably played in 9. if not all 10 of those games. So, and they're beating, they're not beating and competing against just terrible teams. There were some terrible teams like our Cavaliers. However, I just definitely think that they would be a playoff team if he would have been healthy the whole season. And they could still be a playoff team. They're only 4.5 games out now, Mike. And I kind of didn't think that it was a possibility, but I'm not saying that it's for sure going to happen, but I think they have a chance. They have to play really, really well the rest of the season to get there. But I think that they have the opportunity, as long as Ingram and Zion stay healthy, relatively healthy, so to speak. I think that could happen.
I think it's going to depend upon how Memphis continues to play. I mean, I think New Orleans is going to improve their record and continue to get better and better. I'm just not 100% sure that Memphis is going to collapse. Morant has been really, really good, as we've talked about numerous times here on the show. And I think he's only going to continue to get better as the season goes along. And Memphis doesn't really show any signs of they're not showing any signs of collapse. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They've been playing well. I think barring an injury, they're going to continue to play well. And so making up 4.5 games in the last, whatever we have left, 2 months of the season is going to be tough unless the teams above you really don't play well. Yep. That was a big loss tonight for the Trailblazers.
Yeah, for sure. Because now they're fighting
for that spot, right? Yep. And you know they're still 5 games below 500.
So
and obviously you got to have a ton of confidence in Dame that he's going to be able to do what it takes to try to drive them to that A spot, but I'm not sure that the rest of that team is going to be up to the task.
In the West, I feel confident crossing off 4 teams, Mike.
Okay.
Golden State, out. Minnesota, out.
Wait. The Towns Russell pairing, you're not sold that that's going to turn around completely?
They're 10.5 games out. They're out.
Okay.
I feel like Phoenix is close to being out.
I'd say Phoenix is out.
They're 6.5 back.
6.5 back.
And I think Sacramento's a cross off too. They're 6 back. I don't think there's any chance. I'm willing to cross them off. Are you willing to cross them off?
Yeah, I don't think Sacramento is leapfrogging those other 4 teams. So I think Memphis is going to continue to hold on to that spot at least for the time being. I don't see anything, no cracks in their armor that would indicate that they're going to fall off. And although Dame, as we said, is probably the best player at this point in that group of 4 teams that are fighting for that last spot, if we cross off the 4 that we already mentioned, I don't know. I think Memphis still probably has the best chance. I would say San Antonio probably has the worst.
They just don't breed any kind of confidence. Speaking of confidence meters, I feel really bad. I don't know. I feel kind of dirty saying that. Like, I just don't. Like, San Antonio is the perennial team that, like, does really, really well and makes the playoffs no matter what. And I just don't see it happening, which is sad. Well, it's the end of it. It's the end of an era, Mike. It's the end of an era.
Well, let's put it this way. From a viewing public standpoint, that would clearly be the worst team to get that last spot. Would you have any interest in a Lakers-Spurs series?
No.
No, I wouldn't either. But any of those other teams,
I would probably watch it just because LeBron's playing, but that would be the only reason.
Right, but I'm saying would you much rather see Lakers Grizzlies or Lakers Pelicans or Lakers Trailblazers for sure. You know, I think the Spurs are the least attractive matchup from that standpoint in terms of players and who you'd be able to watch. So as it stands now, if I was betting, I'd put it, you know, I'd say there's probably about a 60% chance it's Memphis, and then maybe a 25% chance it's Portland, and 15% it's New Orleans. And
you're really going to give San Antonio 1%, Mike?
No, I'm not giving them any percent.
Okay, so you're crossing San Antonio off.
I'm crossing off the Spurs.
Cross
them off, man. They're done.
All right. And then I guess we did that in the West. We might as well look at is the East the 8th seed? I think those 8 seeds are going to stay.
I think as bad as Orlando has been, I just can't foresee
the Wizards. They're 8 games under 500, and they're going to be a one star in the playoffs, Mike.
I can't see anybody below them making a leap into the playoffs.
Could you imagine if somehow Washington makes the playoffs? I might have a heart attack. I can't believe that Washington has a chance to make the playoffs.
That would have to be, if Washington makes the playoffs, that would have to be, I would think, rank among the worst rosters to ever make a playoff series, I would think. Hard to believe that there could be.
It's almost like the Cavs without LeBron when they made the finals. Right. It's like literally.
It's bad. That's 7-8, which I guess leads to the next discussion, which is if you are an Eastern Conference team that is currently bunched in those 2 through 6 spots, although it's kind of broken up a little bit here in the last couple weeks, but you want to be in that 2-7 matchup. You don't want to be stuck. You definitely don't want to be in the 4-5. The 4-5 is the worst spot to be in because then you have a difficult first round series and then you get the Bucks in round 2.
Yeah,
I think there's a very strong case to be made that I would rather be number 6 as opposed to number 4 or 5.
Oh, 100%. It's not even a question. It's not even a question in my mind. And that gets to the point where I think Indiana is going to stay in the 6th spot. I don't think that they're going to, and you know, maybe Philly will continue to plummet and Philly will drop to 6. And maybe that's the best case scenario for them to be in the Eastern Conference Finals, because I don't see the Philadelphia, you know, with all the Embiid drama that's been going on, which I mean, I don't know if you, how much of it you followed, but him getting booed and then hitting a 3 late in the game and shushing the crowd and then posting on Instagram. Did you see that?
The Jimmy Butler stuff?
Yeah, he posted something on Instagram and Jimmy Butler commented.
Butler said, I know there's a great place for villains.
Yeah.
Embiid said, right on, brother, something like that.
Yeah. So I have to think, Mike, Embiid's not going to be a Sixer next year. I don't think they're going to put up with the crap anymore. I think they're going to try to make a trade at some point in the offseason. That's my prediction. Unless for some reason Philadelphia comes together and they make the finals and they win the finals. That'd be the only way. I'm not feeling very good about my pick this year.
They came together tonight, man.
Well, yeah, but
beat the Clippers, man. The prohibitive title favorite Clippers.
Did Kawhi play?
That's a good question.
I did not watch the game. I was with my child, so
I know Embiid got into a little dust up with Marcus Morris. Fake tough guy Marcus Morris.
Kawhi Leonard did play and he scored 30 points tonight. Paul George, on the other hand, was 3 of 15 from the field for 11 points. There you go. That's not a winning formula, have Paul George 3 of 15 from the field.
No, it's not.
I guess what Paul George really needs to succeed is just keep playing the Cavs defense.
That might work for a lot of teams.
Speaking of which, Mike, you want to go on your diatribe now about the Cavs?
Hey, I told you before we hopped on, I was super excited about the Drummond acquisition, and I knew he would come in and make a big difference, and he did. I mean, he led the team to their worst home loss in franchise history in his first game. Congratulations, Andre Drummond and the Cavs.
And I think about halfway through the first quarter, I texted you saying, Drummond's the best player on our team. He scored 4 points in the first half of the first quarter. The rest of the team has scored 4 points.
Did I hear this right? Did he make 2 threes in that game?
He did. He took more threes in the game. Like, he took more threes in the game than he had all season, I think.
That's what I thought. He's a stretch five now. Well, I really like the way that this all panned out. And if we can continue on this same pace, we're going to be right where we want to be at the end of the season.
He took 3 threes and made 2. So he was 2 for 3.
Right, I knew he made 2, yeah.
2 for 3 from 3. Kevin Love was 2 of 7. Andre Drummond, stretch five, better shooter than Kevin Love.
Hey, all I know is franchise worst loss. Nothing more can be said.
He hit 2 threes. He hit more threes than Colin Sexton, Darius Garland, Kevin Porter. Tristan Thompson also hit a 3 in this game.
Hey, we're opening it up. We're opening up the
game.
We
shot 7 of 33 from threes, Mike.
How many post-ups did Garland have?
Well, Garland
was in front of you?
No, Garland was 3 of 11 from the field. That's all I know.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, that's enough.
Congrats to Colin Sexton for getting the injury replacement. He replaces Nunn from Miami.
That's nice.
Tyler Hero. Sorry, Tyler Hero from Miami.
It's nice
Miami.
To get him in the game. It's nice to have a Cavalier represented in the game. So
yeah, at least the Cavalier will be at the game at All-Star Weekend and have a purpose.
We won't be totally bereft of representation there at All-Star Weekend. So yeah, the Drummond acquisition clearly didn't pay dividends in the first game. So we'll see how it goes from there.
All right.
So the rest of the East there, just quick.
Yeah.
Just I think the last thing to say about the East is it's interesting that the top three seeds currently, so the Bucks, Raptors, and Celtics, in their last 30 games, they're a combined 28-2. Bucks 9-1, Raptors 10-0, obviously winning 15 in a row, and Boston 9-1. And then you have the 3-6. They are a combined, what are they? They're 13-17 in the last 30. So those teams are kind of scuffling a little bit, and it seems like obviously the Bucks have separated themselves.
Yeah, Mike, I have a question.
Season. Yes.
I was thinking about this the other day. Is there any chance that the Bucks go 27-2 over the last 29 games? Or is Giannis going to rest too much to make that happen?
I don't know. I don't see them going 73-9. Simply
could,
because
could they get to 70? Will they get to 70? 24-5 would be their last 29. That would be a better clip. That would be a worse clip than what they're currently at.
I think they can get to 70, but I don't think they're going to get to 73. To only lose twice.
Do you think 70 is like their highest, their ceiling? Do you think they can get to 71, 72, or do you think 70 is it? That's the highest that they could really. I mean, I was trying to diagnose this. I was looking at Milwaukee's schedule. Okay, Pacers, I think they're going to beat them. The Pistons, they should beat them. The Sixers, that'll be an interesting game, but I'm sure they'll beat them. Wizards, they play the Raptors. Then they play the Thunder.
They got 35 games left. We're not going to read off all 35 games.
The tough games. Okay, they've got the Lakers, the Celtics. The Rockets.
I think they can win 70. I think they can win 70.
They have three games against the Raptors, Mike. You have to think they have to lose one of those games against the Raptors.
Yeah, I think they can get to 70. I don't think they're getting to 73. I don't think they're going to go 72-10. I could see them getting to 70. I could see 70-12. I could see that.
I know. I just was kind of hoping that somehow they could get to 73-9. Part of me was just hoping it.
I mean, they certainly could. I mean, they're 25-3 at home. They're 21-4 on the road. So it's not like they're struggling when they go out and have to travel. It's really, really tough to do that. And I think, and I could be wrong, but I think in the back of their mind, the other thing that makes you think that maybe they could do it is the fact that they're doing all this with their best players playing not very many minutes at all. I mean, they're so deep and their second unit has been so good that Giannis can play 31 minutes a game and they're still have an all-time historic point differential. So from that standpoint, you don't necessarily have to worry about, hey, they're beating their guys up. Giannis isn't playing 42 minutes a game in order to get all these victories. He's playing a below average number of minutes. And so that's the kind of thing that makes you think, well, why can't they continue to play him 31 minutes a game? You're not really wearing them out. You're not really beating them up. And why can't they continue to play at this pace? I just think as the season goes on and it becomes clear, if it's not already, that they're going to be the number one seed, especially with the precedent of the Warriors, the recency bias of, hey, we set the record for the all-time wins, but we didn't get the title, combined with the fact that what happened to Milwaukee last year, losing four straight in the conference finals against the Raptors. The focus, to me, is going to be on, we got to be prepared for the playoffs.
I
don't know what that looks like. Maybe it just looks like they continue to do what they do, and they only lose one or two games the rest of the season. But
how poetic would it be for them to go 73-9 and then lose to LeBron in the finals, though? And then LeBron could be like, I knocked out two 73-9 teams. That would be pretty awesome.
That would be. I don't think that's going to happen, but that would be. I don't see them staying in single digit losses for the remainder of the year. I just don't.
Okay, listen, I'm just coming up with storylines, Mike.
I like it.
Storylines.
All right.
All right, so are we ready to rank make our decisions on the best player on each team?
Sure. Let's rank them. Okay, so why don't we go? All right, so first, are we going to figure out who the best players are?
Yes, I think we need to do that, and I think we start in the East. How does that sound?
All right, so let's just buzz down the rosters because I think it's fairly. I don't know. I think there's only going to be a couple teams where there's even a question. Yeah. So
Milwaukee, I think is that Giannis. Obvious. Oh, yeah. Really? I thought it was Chris Middleton. He's your best friend.
I like Chris Middleton, but no, he's not the best player on the Bucks.
All right, Toronto. Would you say Siakam?
It has to be Siakam, right? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Boston. Now, this one, I would go Tatum, right? Tatum?
I would go Kemba.
Okay. You can talk me into that. I'm okay with that.
I think when we talk ratings, we can maybe talk about how you might rank one versus the other, but I think Kemba, with the number of years of experience behind what he's done, and statistically, I think he's superior. So I would vote Kemba. I guess I could see where Tatum could be a possibility, but I would go Kemba here.
Okay. I think Miami's definitely Butler. No question.
Yep.
Okay, Philly. Who would you say is their best player? Would you say Simmons, or would you say Embiid?
Well, when I did my preliminary rankings when we were separate before the podcast, as we were preparing and talking about this, I put Embiid down.
That's who I have written down too. I thought sure you'd have Simmons.
Although I think, just like what we talked about earlier when you said that Embiid may not be in Philly next year, I do think that if I was the GM of this team, I would build around Simmons and get rid of Embiid if it was me. But
okay, yeah.
I think that probably still in a vacuum, Embiid's probably the better player. But when we get to the ratings, we can talk about what that means for you if your best player is Joel Embiid.
Yep. Okay. And then Indiana. This is a hard one for me, Mike, because I put Oladipo down, but he's not himself yet. So I don't know who you wrote down, but that's who I wrote, was Oladipo, because I think if he's healthy, he's their best player.
I wrote Sabonis, but I'm okay with ranking Oladipo as their guy, because I think come playoff time, if Indiana's going to have any hope of doing anything in the playoffs, their best player can't be Sabonis. Their best player has to be Oladipo. So I say we go ahead and rate Oladipo in that one, which I'm fine with.
Okay. Okay, so now we're going to the West, right?
Yes,
we're only doing the top six because we're not going to go down to Kyrie land. So
no, let's stay with the top six.
Okay, so now we're going to go to the West, the Lakers. I have LeBron because he's LeBron, and I can't.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Denver, Jokic.
Yes.
Clippers, I have Kawhi, obviously.
Yes.
Utah, I have Donovan Mitchell.
Yes.
Houston, I have James Harden.
Yes.
And OKC.
We have a tie there, at least in the current standings.
Yeah. So do we want to do OKC and Dallas then?
Let's do both.
Okay. So now we got 13. So okay, OKC. I have Chris Paul.
Yep.
I mean, you could make an argument that Alexander's better than him, but I think Paul's their veteran, and he's going to
Chris Paul's their leader.
Yeah. And then Dallas, I go Luka.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. So I think we start from – do we start from the bottom up? I think we got to start from the bottom up.
I think we got to start from the bottom. I agree.
Okay. So honestly, the bottom was hard when I was doing this, trying to figure it out, and so was the very top. It was tough to figure out where you put different guys. But let's just see how it goes. All right. So number, I guess, 13 now, since we have a tie at the 7th seed in the West –
yeah, I have a hard time even doing this, Mike, but like I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, and I have to put him there, and I feel bad, but I don't know that I have any confidence in him in the playoffs, because the only time I've seen him in the playoffs, he hasn't played well, Mike.
All right, who?
I'm putting Jokic there. I don't know, Jokic? It's either Jokic or Mitchell for me. Those are the two I'm between.
Okay, now, I'm going to tell you right now that you're wrong.
Oh, so okay.
I got to look up Jokic's playoff stats from last year.
Oh man. Oh no.
Cuz it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good for you, man. It's not going to be good.
Oh.
So
no. Oh, Bue's going to be hitting up my Twitter, man. He's going to be all
It's not going to work up. So, here we go. This is I'm just going to read you a headline from the Denver Post from, let's see what.
Is Woody Page?
I don't know. This was dated May 10th of 2019. The headline, unfortunately for you, well, where'd it go? Now it disappeared. I hate these newspaper sites that make you pay for stuff and that you can't track it down.
How dare those newspapers try to stay in business, Mike?
I know. Like, this is ridiculous. They keep giving me all these pop-up ads.
Okay, well, listen.
I got to go back to the Google page just so I can read it to you because it's going to – Nikola Jokic's NBA playoff stats put him in a historically exclusive company.
Okay, all right, so I'm wrong. So
okay, wait, here we go. Nikola Jokic is shining on a national stage for the Nuggets this postseason. He has the stats to back it up. In 13 career playoff games, now again, small sample size, Denver's 24-year-old all-star center has averaged 24.8 points a game, 13.0 rebounds, and 8.9 assists. So,
okay, so I'm wrong.
I'm not going to put Jokic 12th. How about that?
I was misremembering. Okay, well, I'm going to go Mitchell then, 13. That's who I'm
okay.
going.
Okay. All right. Mitchell. Okay, I have, in my last spot, I have whoever the Indiana Pacers guy is. So Oladipo I have at this point at number
13. Like Oladipo played well against the Cavs, though, in the playoffs.
He did play well against the Cavs, but he's been injured. I don't think he's at full strength. And if there's a debate whether him or Sabonis is your best guy, I think that doesn't bode well for your chances. So I have Oladipo at 13.
Okay, well, I have Oladipo at 12 then.
Okay. All right.
So,
okay, I have Kemba at 12. And okay. Let me explain my reason why. The reason why I have him ranked that low, and again, this is where when we talked about who their best player is, I think if I was picking, if Tatum was this guy, I might move Tatum up a slot or two. But I just think small guards in the playoffs, unless you're like unbelievably ridiculously Damian Lillard good, and even Lillard's not nearly as small as Kemba Walker. I just think there's ways for small guards to be taken out of the game plan and to be schemed against, and you can be physical with them, you can bump them, and I just don't think that, again, not that Kemba's not a great player, but as far as this list, he falls down near the bottom for me.
All right, I can agree with that, and I had Kemba 11 actually, so we were pretty close there.
All right, so I have at 11. I have Siakam.
Okay.
And my reasoning for that is he's obviously having a great year, exceeding everybody's expectations. I do think that come playoff time, there's a different level of expectation, a different level of weight being placed on your shoulders when you are now the number one guy. And because he has never done it in the playoffs as the number one guy, because he's never really been the number one guy on a team until this season, I just don't think I wouldn't feel good going into the playoffs if I'm the Raptors. Even if I'm the two seed, I don't feel good going in with Siakam as my best player matching up against a lot of the other teams that they're going to have to face. So I have Siakam at 11.
Okay. I'm on 10.
Yep.
I have Embiid at 10, and I'm going to explain my reasoning, Mike. Here's my reasoning. He might have gastrointestinalitis. He might get sick. He might hurt a finger and have to sit out. He might just have a terrible game where he goes 1 for 13 or 1 for 12. I just can't put him any higher than that because as much as I want Embiid to be a great player and I want to see him play great, I just don't have the confidence level that he's going to show up to a playoff game. And that's why I put him at 10.
I couldn't agree more. I think the illness / is he going to show up to play tonight / is he in shape to be able to play hard for 44 minutes in a playoff game? I think all those things are completely accurate. So I had Donovan Mitchell at 10. He's had 2 years in the playoffs where he's struggled. Now, I think he's going to be better this year because I think their team is better offensively around him, which maybe is going to free him up to be able to have a better playoff. But just like I said with Kemba, to a certain degree, he's still a smaller guard, which I still think that you can game plan those guys out of being the best player on their team. So I have Mitchell at 10, and then I have Embiid at number 9 for the same reason, for all the same reasons that you mentioned. So again, we can quibble with 9, 10, 11, wherever we want to place those guys. But for the most part, I think we're of a similar mindset there with Embiid.
All right, at 9 I have Siakam. So, you know, we're kind of
okay.
Those three are kind of interchangeable, I think. I think that we're relatively close on those. So,
yes, okay. All right, give me your number 8. All right, I'll go my 8. My 8 is Chris Paul.
Okay.
I have Chris Paul at number 8, one because of the potential for injury and age. Chris Paul also has some historical meltdowns in big moments. Not that he hasn't been clutch at other times, but he does have some playoff warts on his resume. And combine that with his age and the fact that he could go down with a hamstring tear at any time, I have Chris Paul at number 8.
I also had Chris Paul at number 8, so we agree, and for all the same reasons. I don't have confidence that he's going to stay healthy, and they lost to the Spurs tonight, Mike, and he didn't play so hot. So I just don't have faith that he can sustain a long playoff run. So
right, can he carry a team the way the guys I think that we're going to talk about from this point forward, the way that these guys above him can carry a team? I don't think he can do that at this point in his career. Yep. And so that's why I would keep him out of this top 7 that we have coming.
All right. I'm going to 7th, Mike. I'm going to go with the guy who I originally said. I'm going to go Jokic. Here, all right. 7.
Okay.
Middle of the pack. Because I feel all bad. Right. I feel bad about my giving him a terrible ranking, but at the same time, I just don't have. My problem is I don't know how it translates in a game against certain teams in the playoffs, and I don't have faith and confidence that when they go and they play the Lakers or they play the Clippers that he's going to be consistently great. So that's why I'm going to go 7.
All right, so I would say the counter argument again to that is when we were sitting here, it was probably a little bit later in the season as we were heading into the playoffs. I think we had this exact same discussion, and I was completely of the mindset that you just shared, which is this guy just doesn't to me look like somebody who I can give the ball to and he's going to get me baskets in the biggest moments in playoff games. And yet last year he was like a revelation. He was tremendous in the playoffs. So I don't have him ranked this low, but I do have a guy who ranks as one of our favorite players on the podcast, James Harden, number 7. And to be honest, I debated hard whether or not to put him below some of these other guys, but his regular season body of work is hard to overlook. I think all these other guys below him have either proven warts or they have never had the opportunity to be the lead dog on a championship type team. And so for that reason, I put Harden up to number 7, but I can't in good conscience move him ahead of any of the guys that are above him. Based on his track record.
I have Harden at 6, Mike. So okay. I think it's hard for me to put. I know what you're saying. I completely agree with everything. He's one of our favorite players to talk about and bash on this podcast. But I can't put him behind Jokic just because maybe I'm wrong in saying this, but I feel like he's at least somewhat reliable to score points. I know Jokic was too, and I think even last year Harden didn't play terrible in the playoffs. It was the rest of the team. Maybe I'm wrong. Is that wrong? Is that wrong in saying that Harden didn't play terrible last year in the playoffs, Mike?
I think he was pretty terrible in the biggest moment. Here's the thing. In the biggest moments when it really matters, I don't have any confidence that James Harden is going to come through. All right, so I'm going to give you – I finally found Jokic's playoff stats.
Oh, great.
So, again, small sample size. 14 games played last season. Okay?
Yeah.
Played 40 minutes a game. Shot 50% from the field. 39% from three. 1.6 threes a game on four attempts. Shot 85% from the line. Averaged 13 rebounds. 8.4 assists. Almost a block. And 25 points a game. That's pretty solid.
That's pretty solid, Mike. I'm not going to disagree with you.
You put that up for a career, and you're pretty much a lock for the Hall of Fame at that point.
Okay. So who do you have at five, Mike?
All right. I'm at six.
Oh, you're who at six. You sorry. At six? I had Harden at six. That's who I had at
so
six.
And who'd you have at seven again?
I had Jokic.
You had Jokic. You had Jokic at seven, Harden at six. I had Luka at six.
Okay.
And I had Luka at six for a couple reasons. One, never having been in the playoffs, you don't know.
He's played in the EuroLeague playoffs, Mike.
Correct. And I would anticipate that him playing in the playoffs is not going to have an adverse effect on his statistics or the way he performs. But he's never done it before. And it seems like at this point this season that little injuries are adding up and keeping him out of games here and there. And so one of the most important qualities of any playoff player is, are you available to play? And so that's why I have Luka at number six. But he could very, very easily climb, I would say, to the number four spot very quickly, depending on how this postseason goes.
All right. Well, I have Luka at five. That's where I had him.
So my five is Jimmy Butler.
We're like, my four is Jimmy Butler. So it's all like, right. So we're relatively close. The only person we really disagree on is Jokic so far. I feel like everyone else is relatively within the same range here. So,
I mean, Jimmy Butler last year for Philly, you could say what you want about Embiid being their best player or Simmons being their best player, but the fact of the matter is that their guy that they relied on in big moments
was
Jimmy Butler.
And I think this is something that they were talking about. I don't remember. I think I was listening to the NBA Ringer show, whatever one came out yesterday, and they were talking about, you know, that Jimmy Butler is one of the most underrated basketball players in the NBA because he just, wherever he goes, they win, and once he leaves, they're not as good as they were. And people don't undervalue him for whatever reason, because I mean, if you look at, he was in Chicago, they were winning. Then he went to Minnesota, they were relatively winning, and they left, and they've been terrible, and Chicago's been terrible since he left. He went to Philly this past season, left Philly, and I would think that we could agree that they are definitely a much worse team without him there.
For sure.
And now he's taken Miami, who was not a playoff team, and Miami's a strong playoff team, and teams are not going to want to play them. So I definitely think he's underrated, for sure.
And I think the other thing that you have to keep in mind when you're talking about Jimmy Butler is that he plays both ends of the floor.
Yep.
So if you look at these other guys that were kind of in this group, so if you say Luka, Harden, even Jokic to a certain degree, those guys aren't considered to be as strong a defensive players as Butler is. So as a two-way guy, plus a guy who clearly isn't afraid to take big shots, not that necessarily he's knocking every single one down, but Jimmy Butler's going to want the ball in his hands at the end of games, and sometimes that's half the battle.
Yep. So I'm going to guess that Jokic is your number four.
Jokic is my number four, yes.
I knew we were going to have the same three. So,
which is unbelievable to me, really, that Jokic, when I started doing the list, and the first three, I guess, were easy, not the order, but knowing who the first three were pretty easy. And then when it came time to figure out, all right, who do you put at number four, that was tough. I mean, it was really tough to look at all those names and take Jokic to that four spot. But I just remember, like I said, I remember sitting here having that conversation last April about what is Jokic going to look like in the playoffs, and then coming out of that going, man, this guy answered every question I had. And after the first month of the season this year, which is a little shaky, he's really come on and has played well. So I would anticipate that they're going to be right there, and Jokic is going to continue to, you know, he's going to continue to lead them. I mean, Denver still, they're the two seed right now in the West. So
yep.
He's their best player. And you think about the strength of the West and you think about the best players on these other teams. And even though Jokic doesn't necessarily look the part, when you look down this list and if you stood all those guys in a row and you picked out the guy that looks least like a basketball player, Jokic is going to be that guy. But, man, he's produced, and Denver's continuing to win. They were a 2 seed last year, the 2 seed this year. And granted, they bowed out to Portland last year in the playoffs. But, I mean, through no fault of Jokic's, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I definitely agree. All right, I'm interested to see where this next three go, Mike. I at my number three, I have Giannis.
So do I.
Oh my gosh, we're on a roll, Mike. Here's the reasons. I just can't rationalize putting him above the next two guys because the next two guys have NBA champions, or NBA champions. Is there anyone else on our list NBA champion that we? I don't think so, right? No one else is an NBA champion on our list. So I couldn't rationalize putting him ahead of either of these guys, considering I couldn't put him ahead of Kawhi or LeBron, because considering how great of players they are and how much they've done it in the playoffs year in, year out, and Giannis hasn't quite gotten there yet. So that's why I have him at three.
I agree. I think all those reasons you just stated, both LeBron and Kawhi have multiple championships with multiple teams. They both are multiple-time finals MVPs. They both are clearly at this point, despite LeBron's advanced age, they're both still playing at a very, 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 very high level. It's not like either one of them have taken a step back and are now playing second banana to somebody else. LeBron's maybe playing co-banana, but at worst. I don't think you can elevate Giannis until he proves it on the biggest stage. And he's got to get the Bucks to the finals, and he's got to win a title before you can put him, at least in terms of the playoffs. Now, if we were talking, I know one of the things that we said before we jumped on here is, are we thinking about this from a confidence in the player as a playoff player or as a regular season player? I think if you just said in the regular season, I think Giannis might be number one on this list. But the playoffs, as we know, are a different animal, and the two guys ahead of him have playoff bona fides that Giannis just doesn't have at this point. So I think he's rightfully ranked at number three, but 3 months from now or 4 months from now, he could easily be number one.
All right, Mike. Do you want to say your number two, or do you want me to say? Go ahead.
Sure. My number two is Kawhi. And I know Kawhi did it more recently, carrying the Raptors to a title last year. I just think that the load management, the potential for injury, I think if LeBron and Kawhi are to go head-to-head, I would just have a hard time putting my money on Kawhi. Although they have gone head-to-head before, and Kawhi's come out on top with maybe a better surrounding cast, and maybe when Kawhi wasn't the number one guy back when he was with the Spurs, even though he ended up being the finals MVP in that series against the Heat. I just think I have a hard time in this case thinking that LeBron with AD next to him and the supporting cast that he has, that if those two teams end up matching up, I would have more confidence in LeBron to carry the Lakers past the Clippers than I would to have in Kawhi carrying the Clippers past the Lakers.
Yeah, I struggled with this, Mike. I really did. So I looked at some stats here, Mike.
All right. Okay.
And here are career averages for Kawhi versus career averages for LeBron.
Okay.
Now, LeBron or Kawhi in the playoffs has had 111 games. He's averaged 19.5 points, 7.7 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 1.7 steals. Now, we have to take into account, Mike, that his first few years, he wasn't as a focal point for San Antonio. So he wasn't, right? Would you agree with that statement? Like his first few years in the playoffs, he was not a focal point. Whereas
Correct.
LeBron has always been a focal point. Agree?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So he's been in the playoffs 7 times. He's played 111 games. LeBron's been in the playoffs 13 times. He's played 239 games. He's almost averaging 29 points at 28.9, 8.9 rebounds, 7.1 assists, 1.8 steals, 1.0 blocks. A block a game. Okay? So LeBron's averaging more points, more rebounds, more assists, more steals, and more blocks per game. So there was no way that I was ever going to put LeBron below Kawhi. So I have Kawhi at number two. I have LeBron at number one. And I think that we could talk about the 2017 and 2018. And the that team was terrible, and LeBron carried them to the postseason and carried them to the finals. They had no business being in the finals, Mike. And then you look at Kawhi. Last year, he took a team, Toronto, who consistently underperformed in the playoffs after great regular seasons. But there's one difference that Kawhi didn't have to do, Mike. He didn't have to beat LeBron. He didn't have to do it with Toronto. And look at Toronto this year. They're playing great again. And I know that, trust me, if Kawhi was on that team still, I think that team would be the favorite to win the NBA championship, just if it was performing at the level that they are. But I have to put Kawhi too. I can't put him ahead of LeBron.
I agree. I think all those things that you just said, and maybe Toronto's better than we thought. The fact that they've run off 15 in a row and that they're number two in the East, and maybe that team was better than we gave them credit for. I know they had a tortured history with losing to LeBron in the playoffs. And, you know, I made fun of playoff Kyle Lowry for a long time before he came through last year. But maybe that team's better than we thought.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that Kawhi wasn't incredible, because he was incredible, especially in that Milwaukee series. He just willed them past the Bucks and did what it took in order for them to be able to get past them. But like I said, if push comes to shove and I have two relatively equal teams and I have a choice between putting LeBron James as the head of the snake or Kawhi Leonard as the head of the snake, I got to believe I'm going to take LeBron James Yep. every single time until he really starts to deteriorate.
Until Father Time.
And, yeah, which I know Father Time is undefeated, but maybe LeBron's taking him to overtime before he loses. So,
yeah. Yeah. You know, and this is so I was sad that he left, but I'm rooting for him to win in L.A., especially with all the stuff that's been going on with Kobe. And I shouldn't even feel this way, because I never liked the Lakers. I can't say that I've ever rooted for the Lakers, Mike.
Okay.
But I think at this point I'm still rooting for LeBron Giannis in the finals. That's what I want to see, because I feel like this is the best chance that we're going to have of it happening. And, you know, because like you said, Father Time's undefeated, and just another year. I can't fathom LeBron's going to continue this torrid pace. So I want it to happen this year, Mike. I need it to happen.
Well,
this
you want to see that. You want to see two guys who are, and again, I don't think LeBron is at his peak, but you want to see two guys.
He's not far off, Mike. Let's be honest.
He's not far off. I agree. But you want to see two guys who are the best at what they do be able to square off. And it would be a lot of fun. There'd be a lot of interesting matchups. And clearly, the Bucks have been the story of the regular season in terms of their record. The two LA teams have been kind of the glamour story. And if you could get a Bucks Lakers final, I think the NBA would be happy with that. And I think it would be a tremendous matchup. It would also make me correct on my preseason prediction of the two teams I thought that would get to the finals.
That's the only reason
I'm rooting for. Nah, I think it'd be a lot of fun. Hey, I think it'd be a lot of fun. And just like you said, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's totally unrelated to this, so finish your statement and then I'll say something. Go ahead.
So my statement is that I find myself now rooting for LeBron, whereas when he was with Miami, I vehemently rooted against them that first year against Dallas, and then every year after that I continued to root against them, although not quite as vehemently. And now I guess I would have to say that I'm rooting for LeBron, although the litmus test for me will be if it is, in fact, Bucks-Lakers. I think that's going to be one of those series because
you got to root for your boy Chris Middleton.
Well, because I'm a fan of Giannis and I'm a fan of LeBron as well, I think that's going to be one of those series or games where I'm not necessarily going to know who I want to win until I sit down and watch a game. You ever do that? That's how I find myself when I'm watching games with teams that I'm not intimately involved in terms of my hometown.
It's bizarre. I feel like I've got several allegiances. Like anytime Dallas plays, I root for them. Anytime Portland plays, I don't know why, but I've kind of adopted Portland. I have a few friends that
are
Trailblazers fans, and
right.
I mean, I'm going back to like when Brandon Roy played for them. I really was a huge Brandon Roy fan, and talk about a guy whose career was ultimately cut way too short.
For sure.
I was a huge Brandon Roy fan, and you know, I feel like Portland's been through the ringer with everything that's happened with between him and then Oden, and I know I'm forgetting someone else that was on that team that kind of. So I don't know. I find myself rooting for Portland. I don't really find myself rooting for a lot of teams in the East, though. I don't. Maybe it's because we play them more, and I feel like we have all the years of rivalries with LeBron. Like, yep. You know, I kind of would.
I find myself rooting against teams, and I think it's probably the teams of my youth. So, like, I can't root for the Celtics because I didn't like the Celtics when I was a kid. I can't root for the Pistons because I hated the Pistons when they were the bad boys, and I also hated the Pistons that used to beat up on the Cavs in that bad boy era and then in the Rip Hamilton, Chauncey Billups era.
So, listen, anytime I think about that series, that team, I just think about the game that LeBron just went nuts. I just think of that. I was
48 special.
Yeah, I can think of where I was sitting when I was watching the game. I know exactly who I was with. It's just, that's the only thing I choose to remember.
That was the first. That was probably the first moment on the national stage where LeBron, not that he introduced himself because everybody knew him from the time he was a junior in
high school,
but that was the time where I think it really became clear that this guy was going to be the next big. He was going to be the next big thing. So. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't know what's going to happen. I think the rest of the season is going to continue to be interesting. There's lots of good storylines to follow, and we'll see where it all ends up.
Do you see the storyline that came out today about that the Knicks are the most valuable franchise in the NBA? Today? That came out. Forbes.
It's not completely surprising. By the way, just to talk Knicks for a second, you know how when they fired Steve Mills and then the next day it was reported that they were going to hire Worldwide West and Leon Rose to run the organization. But as of now, that still hasn't happened. So I thought when that first happened when they first fired Mills, that it sounded like that was a done deal. And now we're almost a week after that. And there's been nothing. There's been no official announcement. So who knows what's going on again, more chaos for the Knicks. But I'm not surprised it's the most valuable franchise. Every game in Madison Square Garden is sold out. It's kind of like these baseball owners who it doesn't really matter. They're not necessarily trying to put a winning product on the field. They have these cash cows that just continue to just make money and make money and make money. And what's the incentive for the Knicks to be great? It doesn't matter. That arena's full no matter what. And just the piece of real estate that Madison Square Garden sits on.
$4.6 billion, Mike.
I can see it. I can see it. And hopefully, at some point, James Dolan decides that $4.6 billion is more valuable than owning the Knicks, but I wouldn't count on it, Knicks fans.
Yeah, so do you take a guess? Where do you think the Cavs fall, Mike?
Okay. Well, let's see. I would say the Cavs are probably, there's probably still some residual LeBron value there. So I would say the Cavs rank 26th.
Not bad, Mike. They are 23rd.
23rd, okay. All right, let me try to figure out the least valuable franchise.
We'll leave it at that.
That'll be a good way to end it. So the least valuable franchise, I would say, man. All right. I'm going to go with,
I feel like I need Jeopardy music, Mike.
So I think it comes down to three. So I'm going to name my bottom three. Don't tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Okay.
But I'm going to name what I think are the bottom three: the Charlotte Hornets, the Memphis Grizzlies, and I still kind of want to say the New Orleans Pelicans, even though I think Zion probably increases the value. I'm going to go with the Charlotte Hornets.
They're actually just below us.
Okay.
But the other two teams are the bottom two.
New Orleans and Memphis. So Memphis has got to be last, right?
Yeah, Memphis is last. New Orleans is. Okay. So Memphis is worth $1.3 billion. The New Orleans is worth 1.35.
Okay. And I got to believe as Zion continues to elevate himself that the value of the Pelicans franchise is going to go up.
And Minnesota was the third from the bottom, Mike.
Okay. All right.
That's the only team that I'm surprised is the two teams that I originally thought were Memphis was one for sure.
Okay.
And I thought Orlando, because I don't know that I've ever seen an Orlando Magic game where there's been people in the stands. Because no one in Orlando is from Orlando. Like, you know, like.
But I think I equate value with the size of the market. And so I think Orlando's market.
Well, they're fourth from the bottom. They're worse than us. So.
Right, but I'm just saying there. I think you look at the size of the markets. That's what I kind of tried to go with. Is what were the small? You know, what are the smallest markets? And Memphis, New Orleans, small cities. So that's why I went with those. That's why I went with those. And Charlotte. I guess Charlotte's a bigger city. Charlotte's kind of a bigger city and sort of a hotbed. And Michael Jordan involved in the ownership group. But I kind of thought that franchise has been woe be gone for quite a while now. But, yeah.
All right.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. That's a good way to end the episode talking about money.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens moving forward. We'll be back next week. We'll wrap up all the All-Star festivities.
Specifically the Dame Lillard rap that's going to happen.
Ah, yeah. Dame Dalla.
Dame Dalla is going to rap. I'm starting to think that he's spreading himself too thin. I think I'm going to pull off my my prediction that he's going to win the All-Star Game MVP because I just don't know. I think he's going to be overworked, Mike. Overworked.
I got to say, what I hope happens is that while he's on stage or after he's on stage, that we get Shaq and Fushnikins again. So I'd like to see that happen just to spice up the. Let's just go old school with the All-Star Game. I don't know. I don't know what to make of this All-Star game. It's going to be. I don't know.
It's going to be bizarro land.
I'm curious to see what it looks like. I give me back the East versus West real game, and let's play it out. I'm not into the rest of this stuff. But anyway, we'll wrap that up. Next time when we're on next week, we'll talk All-Star game. Talk about the format. We'll wrap the dunk contest and the skills challenge and the 3-point shootout and the Rising Stars and all that stuff. And so we'll talk that out. And we'll keep plugging on with the season. So to everyone out there, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Hoopheads Nation, check out these new offerings from Tyler Whitcomb Basketball Coaching Courses. The Bob Knight 1981 National Champion Indiana Hoosiers Playbook and the Will Wade LSU 2019-2020 Playbook are now available. Visit coachtube.com/users/Tyler Whitcomb to check out these great resources.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.